Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast. Hammerock Core from 53990 at Rex Corral Volkswagen. Direct from krock.com.au. The latest news, the latest fashion. This is what's trending.
I love reality TV.
Tim, we need to talk about Netflix because they have announced a huge change coming for 2026. And this could, you know what, this always happens. Netflix is kind of like the instigator, and then all other streaming services follow.
Okay.
And this is starting to sound like a bit of a Black Mirror episode.
Now, I haven't seen the show except for the one episode you told me to watch. Might be the most cooked episode of television I've ever seen.
I said Black Mirror is fantastic. You should watch the show.
And so I watched episode one of season one.
No one told you to start at episode one.
Episode one like an idiot. And yeah, don't watch it if you're listening. But yes, so why is it? Now, that scares me.
Yes. Essentially, Netflix users from next year are going to be provided with AI-generated adverts.
What does that mean?
So it means you'll be watching your TV show, and like how we used to watch, you know, free-to-air TV.
Back in the good old days. Cheese TV.
Two or three times throughout your episode, you will be presented with a series of ads. However, some streaming services are already doing this, including Netflix. If you have like one of the cheaper brackets of the streaming service, you will be shown ads.
Okay.
The change that's happening next year is they're going to have AI-generated ads. So essentially, if you like have been looking at some certain things on your phone will pick up, oh, you know, Tim's been looking at hair replacement, and they're going to make an AI-generated ad for you specifically.
Drive-by. Tim's been looking at facial reconstructive surgery.
And AI technology will make a targeted ad just for you based on your searches.
I'm going to be honest, I wasn't listening. I was so hurt.
Isn't that wild? Oh, don't get hurt feelings now. It was just an example.
It ruins it when I get hurt, doesn't it? I'm so sorry that I'm hurt. I'll try my best to not be upset.
just for example, right. You know?
Well, tomorrow can you try again? Because, again, I don't know if I took anything in. But, yeah, sounds good or bad. Whatever you want me to feel.
You want to see?
Oh, Tim was searching. Why do I stink so much?
And then they would present you with an ad.
If you want to see that story and everything else that is trending, go to our website, krock.com.au. I'm going to have a quick cry. Back in a moment.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I want to talk to you about voice notes. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's an element for the last couple of years that people have been able to communicate. So instead of just texting or calling, you can just hit record, blah, 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 hit send. You send it to a friend. Some people really like communicating in that way.
Mm-hmm. I have certain friends that I do it with.
It's not for me.
It's not for everyone.
It is, to me, it is way too, because it's essentially just a disjointed phone call.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to, because like what you can do in 10 voice notes that could take 3 days, you could do that in a 5-minute phone call. I think.
But you sound like such a boomer.
No, but because like, some of them expire. And if you go, oh,
I hate the ones that
expire.
What
did Ali say? I've got to go back and listen, find somewhere in the voice note where it was, blah, blah, blah. How long do you think should be the longest that a voice note is?
If it's longer than a minute, you've lost my attention.
Mate, this is what I'm talking about.
You've lost my attention.
I was in the car with my wife on the weekend. We were driving. And to her credit, we were going into the city. So I'm like, okay, that's a fair drive. She was like, I just need to listen to a voice note from my mate. 21 minutes.
21? I didn't even know you could record them that long.
Well, I was like, why do you need to save it till we're in the car? And she's like, because it's a really long one. And I was like, that doesn't seem fair. That's a lot of things to tick off. We have a radio show and we don't make podcasts that last 21 minutes.
Jesus.
We just pick the best bits and, you know, put it out there into the internet.
Oh my God. So at that point you're taking notes while you're listening.
Well, this is the thing.
Because I'm going to forget what you said first.
But I was like, all right, well, I want to listen because this is hilarious. What does a 21 minute, 20 minute voice note look like? And so we're listening. And then my wife is sending a reply. She's like, what have I forgot? And I was like, that's a great point you bring up, because I can't remember from 30 minutes ago now what the first point in this voice note was.
How long was her reply?
I said, I was like, give her a tight two. Send this in a tight two. And I think,
oh, she's giving you 21. You're going to send her back two.
Well, then, because like, so the voice note would come through. And I don't know if it's just like me. If I got a 21-minute voice note, my brain goes, we don't have time to look at this.
Yep.
So I go, well, I'll respond to that, you know, when I'm driving the Nullarbor. that's when I'll have the time to look at this voice note. I just think that's wild.
Yeah.
I think it's wild to drop that's on too someone. Much. And I know that some phones do the transcript. That's a lot of transcribing.
Yeah. Yep. But even the phones that do the transcript, those voice notes expire.
Yeah. This is the thing. I wanted to throw this to the phones. 5223295. How long should a voice note be? I think we need to put in a limiting capacity.
21 minutes is too long. I feel like... Oh,
if it's longer than an episode of The Simpsons, I'm not listening.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
If you're not better than The Simpsons, then what are you trying to
what
do?
What are you saying? Like, talking 21 minutes straight. That you're right, that is a podcast.
There was several points brought up, and I was listening to it, and I was like, well, it kind of does sound like a podcast, because the person who had sent this to my wife, she was addressing one person, which, like we do here, you address it to one person. And I was like, oh, what's on next episode? So I was kind of invested in that. But also, I was like, this is so much.
Yeah.
How much? Because, like, the best thing with a podcast is you're not responding to the podcast.
I feel like for me, it's 5 minutes tops. And even then, wrap it up. Keep it tight.
Okay.
Don't waste my time.
Megan from Bell Park's giving us a call. Now, Megan, you've called the show a lot. We know you love to yap. What are you thinking? How long should a voice note be?
Not long at all.
Oh, okay.
If someone, like, sends me a Snapchat and it's more than, like, two video thingies, I will save it to Snapchat so I can go back and, like, listen to it multiple times.
Wow.
Because if you're, like, if I get a video and it's more than 30 seconds, I'm forgetting what you said in the first
end. I forget the younger generation, they are moving, they're shorter form content.
Oh, Tim, I'm not part of the younger generation.
Oh, your attention span's cooked too.
My attention span is gone. Gone. Megan, anything over a minute and I am done.
What a throwback getting Snapchat mentioned on the show. Yeah. That is just
I didn't know
incredible.
Anyone still used Snapchat, Megan.
Is it popular, Megan?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm nearly 30, but Snapchat, like, if you want to get a hold of me, Snapchat's probably your best bet.
Really? Are people still using the Snap Map?
I reckon only stalkers would probably use the Snap Map.
Yeah.
I know I've got myself set to ghost mode, so no one can see me.
Good.
Ghost
That's
mode.
Good. You know, I don't know why. That was such a dumb feature.
That
I don't
was
know
a
why
terrible feature.
Megan,
honestly.
The Tim and Jess show used to have a Snapchat.
Did
in,
we?
In 2016.
Did we really?
Yeah, well, everyone was on it back then. So
oh,
that's
my
what
God.
We
what
doing.
Did we put on it?
Who knows? But if we still committed to it, we would have so much interaction. So, Megan, so you think a minute at absolute longest a voice note should be?
Oh, absolutely. Or just call me. If you're going to talk for more than a minute in the video, just call me.
All right, we'll send us your Snap, Megan. Thank you very much. Okay. I like that. I'd keep it to a minute.
Because I like Megan's rule. Under 30 seconds or just call me.
Yeah, pick up the phone.
Yeah. If you have more than 30 seconds worth of stuff to say, call me.
Tim and Jess, the podcast. Hammerock call from 53990 at Rex Garrell Volkswagen. Direct from krock.com.au. The latest news. The latest fashion. This is what's trending.
I love reality TV.
A couple of weeks ago, I mean, for non-footy fans, maybe they might not care about this, but I guess sporting fans, the announcement that the NRL would be expanding to Perth, Rugby League, and the Perth Bears have, well, they used to exist. They're coming back now, essentially. Mm-hmm. The North Sydney Bears were a team in the NRL, kind of like how South Melbourne went to Sydney and became the Sydney Swans kind of deal. So Perth is going to have an NRL team called the Bears. Something interesting is happening. So obviously everyone's excited that NRL is coming to WA.
Yes.
WA like can sometimes, I guess, feel like its own country.
It does feel very far away. I think it's the different time zone.
But league fans are accidentally joining the wrong Perth Bears Facebook
There's another Perth Bears.
Yeah, so there is an established Perth Bears.
Oh.
But it's the social...
Like a football team?
No. It's the social gay club. the Perth Bears. Mistaking it for the newly announced NRL team.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so Bears Perth.
Why do they have a membership?
Well, it's like they're joining on the Facebook group. They're like, oh, great, there's already a Facebook page up and running for Bears
God.
Perth. But no, this...
I hope they come on as a sponsor.
Bears Perth is a social club for gay men that has been around since 1993. And according, if you're not familiar, according to Grindr, this is where I've got my research.
Oh, here we go.
A bear in gay culture refers to a man with plenty of body hair and a bigger physique.
Yes.
So, which is not too dissimilar from a rugby team, from a league team.
True. There's probably a few Perth Bears that are going to be joining the team.
I think a lot of people have been looking at it as well because, even more confusingly, the Bears Perth Clubhouse is located right next to one of the city's major sporting grounds called HBF Park.
If they do not get behind the new NRL team, that is a missed marketing opportunity.
100%. Apparently, so the people from the Perth Bears actual league club... They had to do a Facebook post. Rugby fans, take note. We are not associated with the newly announced NRL club called Perth Bears. Sorry, this is from the Bears Perth. Please do not sign up for memberships. If you are here to join a rugby club, that is not what you will find.
That's fair. That's fair. It's good that they're putting it out there. You don't want to trick anyone.
Yes. Well, apparently the president, Kingsley Dawes, he said the guy who runs the original Bears for Bears in Perth, he's finding the humor in it, and he's like, hey, always welcome for new members, not sure you're here for the right reasons, but if you've accidentally found us and you're keen,
please come join the family.
So it's a no other country do we do sport like Australia absolutely hits it out of the park.
You'd think that they would have done this research before they named the team.
I just want to know what photos they were using.
This is Tim and Jess.
Good Charlotte there, the anthem on your radio, and that's the way we like it. It is 4:09. Tim and Jess here to drive you home on K-Rock. All thanks to the Gordon, real skills, real experience, real outcomes. Study at the Gordon. And Jess, Ben Lee announced last week that he is going back on tour, 20th edition of his album. And a lot of people are very keen for Awake is the New Sleep 20th anniversary tour. Torquay Hotel, 10th of October. Tickets on sale soon.
Yeah, the man himself joins us on the phone right now, Ben Lee.
None other. Hello.
Hello. Now, Ben Lee, we're so grateful to have you on the show. Thank you very much for giving us some time this afternoon. Hopefully you still like hearing Good Charlotte on your radio. We just wanted to confirm that from your song Catch My Disease.
Sure. I mean, I didn't realize there was still radio. I just found out there is recently, and it's cool. It's like, you've got to keep it going. Keep fighting the good fight.
Please be cool. We need these jobs.
We're the last ones.
Exactly. I'm bringing back listening to the radio, condoms, you know, things that like people have forgotten about.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Catch My Disease came out 20 years ago. You've released a new version called Catch My Disease 2025, teaming up with your mates Phantom Planet. That must have been really cool, putting that together, changing the little references from the original. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, the thing about that song, I actually wrote that song backstage in Pomona, California, when I was opening for Pet Phantom Planet. And the whole thing that I think was so contagious, pun intentional, about that song was that it was just this sort of spontaneous thing without too much thought. And I just thought, let's do another one exactly the same kind of spirit where it's just like, hey, you guys, you want to do this? And Alex was like, yeah, totally. And then I just, on the day, was like, okay, let me think of some artists. Let me change some references. And I think part of what kind of people like about my approach is that I'm not too precious about that stuff too, because it just keeps the enthusiasm there.
It is a fun song to like sing along to because you can change the references yourself 100%. As you're singing along.
Well, Morat's a friend of ours, so a friend of the show. So
we love
to hear a bit of Morat. Now we've heard that you've become this kind of mentor of Australian music. Is Morat one of the ones that you've been speaking to? Who else is under your wing right now, Ben Lee?
Well, it's not some sort of formal arrangement, but I like to make myself available. I think the kinds of artists that tend to, you know, want to connect with me are artists that are a little bit outside of any particular genre. Like they're sort of unique artists. But in Australia, if you're not easily like pigeonholed, it can actually be quite difficult because, you know, it's a small industry. And if people don't know what to do with you, it can bring a lot of its challenges. So a lot of these more like idiosyncratic kind of weirder artists like, you know, Mallrat or, I don't know, Amy Taylor from Alan Sniffers or Georgia Mack, like Young Marta, like these are people that like that I feel some affinity with because they're just sort of a little bit on their own trying to carve their own path in a little bit of a conservative music environment.
Yeah, I mean, is this something you've experienced over the last 20 years? How did you break into the scene when you first started?
Well, I was very lucky in that it was this guy, Steve Pav, who was, you know, sort of promoter in the 90s. He got my music to Sonic Youth and the Beastie Boys, who were both, you know, alternative American acts that were like always on the lookout for like weirdo artists around the world. So I got very lucky in that I found myself sort of part of this broader community. And it was a weird situation because I was suddenly like, I found the sort of indie community in America kind of embraced my music. So there was like, I'd sell like 30,000, 40,000 copies of an album. But in Australia, I was selling 500 copies because, you know, it's just the nature of the size of the market. So it's just that thing of like, if what you do is a little bit offbeat, it can be hard to be in a small market. But anyway, I think because at 14, older artists kind of took me under their wing, it just made me go, oh, that's how you're meant to do it. That's what you got to do. So it just became natural to pay that forward.
Now, there's a viral video of you going around at the moment, Ben. I'm sure you're probably sick of talking about this, where you claim that Ben Harper ruined Australian music. I'm sure, and I know you love Ben Harper, and I'm sure people have asked you this lots and lots. Who else would you like to drag under the bus right now? We're going to offer you a great opportunity to do that, or you can just
many, do a pass. Too many. But honestly, it's not, you know, like I said in the video, I think people misunderstood that. Like, honestly, nothing against Ben Harper. It's more to do with this idea that suddenly if you were wearing a fedora and played acoustic guitar and were from Byron Bay, your music was seen as like the real deal, which I find that sort of like aesthetically snobby. Like, I think like a kid using Ableton in their bedroom is just as authentic as someone making like folk or R&B or whatever. You know what I mean? So as far as enemies, I do have them. There are people that I have almost like aesthetic or moral differences with, but I like them as people. But I don't like almost basically like let me just broad stroke so I don't get myself in trouble. Basically, any music that tries to soothe your soul, I fundamentally disagree with. I like music that disrupts your comfort, and even it can be nice. Like, I write catchy pop songs, but the reason people get annoyed by them is because I'm trying to annoy them. I'm trying to annoy my audience and the broader audience. And I've always had that. Even when I'm singing sweetly about crushes and everything, I kind of like poking the audience. It's just my like artistic belief system. So that's basically the artists I sort of have disagreement with.
All right. Well, Ben Lee, we appreciate you coming on the show, chatting about your song, starting some more beef. That'll be excellent. and that's the way we like it. So, Ben Lee, we're so excited to see you in Torquay, 10th of October. Tickets go on sale in a couple of days on the 22nd on Thursday. And we will see you very, very soon.
Can't wait, guys. And thank you so much. I mean, you know, we're joking around and everything, but the fact that, like, people do just kind of, like, there's something beautiful about listening to radio, especially in your car on the way home from work or to work. And, like, I am appreciative that, like, people are still out there just, like, sharing music, you know. So, anyway, thanks for having me.
No worries, Ben Lee. We will have you anytime. We're going to play your 2025 version of Catch My Disease right now, featuring Phantom Planet. Do you want to do the intro right now, Ben?
Hell yeah. This is Ben Lee with Phantom Planet playing Catch My Disease 2025. Get into it.
There you go. Steve and Jess driving you home here on K-Rock.
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
Goodbye. Goodbye. That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.